See this box? This is a gift for the whole family. You see, we are a Christmas decorations right after Thanksgiving dinner type of family. As soon as the stuffing is in the Tupperware, boom, we are setting out ornaments and lights. And truth be told, the lights stay out till mid-January, at a minimum. Now, that may be because we just love the Christmas atmosphere and the Christmas spirit, or we're just lazy. I mean, we were devoted to the tradition of it, to the routine of it. I think in our hearts, we just got lazy. We have this tradition where every Christmas, we would all set up the nativity scene, and we'd set it out diligently, routinely. It was almost as if we were just trying to get through that next hurdle so we could watch our Christmas movies. So I had this idea. That's right. I stole baby Jesus. I plucked him right out of there. I started doing this about 4 years ago. I wanted him to mean something when he was in the manger. Now I know what you're thinking. What? Why would a sane man hide the baby Jesus during Christmas? And I think therein lies the problem. A, I'm not that sane. And B, for me, Jesus was becoming just another ornament. And I just didn't want him to be that anymore. I wish you could have been there that very first year. It was bedlam.
Where's baby Jesus?
Who took him?
The mystery of baby Jesus' whereabouts was on the forefront of everyone's minds. And then before you know it, I started throwing out these little ransom notes. And then people were searching for clues. And every night at dinner table, they would come up with these new theories.
In the kitchen.
I think
really?
He's somewhere
yeah.
outside.
I think he's somewhere in the living room.
Yeah, but...
For 3 weeks straight, our house was cloaked in conspiracy.
I wonder where he is.
Me too.
Now, I may not be the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree, but I do know, and I was raised to know, that the most important thing about Christmas is to seek Christ. And that's why I hide the baby Jesus. My kids, they've gotten so into this. 2 years ago, they made shirts that said, keep calm and find Jesus. And last year they made a Facebook and they posted everything on it. You want to know where I hid baby Jesus this year? I hid him in our flower bed. Yep, gave him a little ransom note. Their last clue was this, Ephesians 5:2. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The fragrant offering part kind of confused my little one. She kept trying to look for him in the bathroom. Anyway, it took him a while, but they finally found him. I still got it. So, I have to go back out and hide him again. Because we will not open this gift until Christmas Eve. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll turn off the phones and the TVs. And I'll just be quiet. He came into the world quietly. And I just want my family to absorb this. And then we will open up this gift, this amazing, God-breathed, prophecy-filled gift. And we will sit around as a family, and we will talk about why Jesus was the greatest Christmas gift ever.
That's it.
Has anybody not had enough sweets yet this evening? Has anybody? I know we had the cookies out there, but okay. I want to start with a game. Okay. Like you to pick a hand?
Pick a hand.
Yeah, pick a hand. Hey, good guess. All right. Yeah, Tony, you want to try? Pick a hand. Oh, good job. It'll make sense later. You know, I think sometimes we feel like this dad, I kind of do in the video, where Thanksgiving is past us, and as soon as it's past us, like the moment I'm done with my last plate of Thanksgiving turkey, I'm in full steam ahead mode, looking forward to Christmas. You know, I'm excited to start putting up decorations, and not as much as my wife would like me to be, but I'm getting there. And the Christmas music and all that. And do you guys have any rules at your house of when you start? Like, is there a set time when you start listening to Christmas music? Like, not before Thanksgiving or decorating? Does it have to come before or after? Okay, the mall starts on July 5th, right? With all their stuff. Yeah, pretty close to it. You know, a lot of times we have different traditions like this dad in the video. And as I watched that, you might have been doing what I was doing during part of that. I mean, it's a really touching video, but at the same time, I'm thinking, where would I hide baby Jesus at my house? Because we've got all kinds of cool places I could hide him. The basement, there's clutter there, so nobody would ever find baby Jesus in the basement, probably, if I hit him pretty good. And thinking about my garage, or, you know, did you guys do that? Were you thinking of places? Now are you? Where could you hide baby Jesus? In your home, right? But you wouldn't hide the really good one that your grandma gave you that might break or something. You'd hide the plastic one like he probably had. This evening we're going to talk about Advent, and the dad in this video, he understands, he gets Advent. Advent season, this season we're going into, is about the arrival of Jesus. Advent, if you didn't know, means arrival. And so usually, starting tomorrow by tradition, is called Advent Sunday, and from tomorrow until Christmas Eve, by Christian tradition, people start really being intentional about looking forward to the coming of Christ, to the birth of Christ. Do you remember the whereabouts, or the clues to the whereabouts of baby Jesus recorded in Luke? There were clues there about finding the Messiah, about finding Jesus. And the messengers of God, the angels, went to these shepherds out in the fields at night, and they gave them clues. And it's recorded in the book of Luke. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." That's from Luke 2, verses 10 through 12. And I think about that very timely visit by the angels, and they're giving these clues of where the greatest treasure of all time is going to be found, the baby Jesus. And in the verses of this Christmas story, we see that God arranged things in such a way that he wanted Jesus to be found. He wanted the Messiah to be discovered, and he wanted his son found by those specifically who would seek him, those who would look for him. And after, although these clues of the newborn's whereabouts were specifically given to shepherds, we know that those are also for us. Verse 10 states that the Heavenly Father's good news is for all people. So this is for everyone. After the shepherds received these clues of good news, along with that came some expectancy. You know, the angels told them about this. They said, hey, here are some signs, and if you will follow these signs, if you'll recognize this and follow these signs and seek, you're going to find something really special. And so this expectancy that they had, it caused them to do more than just marvel. I mean, angels showing up and giving you a proclamation about the Messiah would just blow your mind anyway, right? You'd be amazed by that. But they did more than just stand there being amazed. They went into action. They were motivated to do something, and they started searching. And so what unfolded at the conclusion of their searching is depicted this time of year by what we do with our little nativity sets at home, when we set those up with the little grassy manger, you know, there with Jesus in it, and the family around, he's there in the hay, and that's what we depict this time of year. Luke 2:16 it says, "So they hurried off and located Mary and Joseph and found the baby lying in a manger." I think it's important to recognize for us that God doesn't set up clues for us to find something without wanting us to find the treasure that he's made for us. That God doesn't lead us on a wild goose chase. When he gives his followers something to seek, it's because he has every intention that we find the thing that he has for us to find. Whatever good gift it is, he wants us to receive it in full measure. And he wanted the gift of his son to be found in that manger. He wanted the Savior of the world to be worshipped and adored, and he wants us during this time of year not just to go through the motions. He wants us to receive to the fullest this good and perfect gift of his son, Jesus Christ. So the game we played a little while ago, have you guys ever, you've done the hands behind the back game, right? And you have somebody pick, maybe you do that with little kids or with somebody, and you would never do that 5 or 6 times and not have anything in either hand, right? You would never, especially to a little kid, say, "I'm sorry, kid, life isn't fair, so there's your lesson." You know, no. You don't set it up for people to fail that. You set it up so they enjoy it, so it's a good thing, so they find the thing you want them to find. And that's what God has done. You know, sometimes, though, I think that we think that God is playing a mean game with us, because I think sometimes we think, well, I want more of Jesus in my life. I want to find him more. I want to have more fullness of an experience of his joy and his hope, and I want to have that in the fullest in my life with this good and perfect gift of God. And so we wonder, you know, why don't I have more of that if that's what I want? In James 1:17, God's word says, "All generous giving, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or the slightest hint of change." And looking at this, I love that it calls God the Father of lights. That is actually an ancient Jewish term that goes way back to the beginning, and it recognizes God as the unique creator, the creator of the heavens and the earth and the stars and the moon and the sun and all of these good gifts that he gave. And it ties back to Genesis 1 and the creation. And in the very beginning, in Genesis 1, remember, God doesn't change, and he was a creator of light. And that was a gift that he gave for his creation, was a gift of light. And the Father, though, in this video that we watched at the beginning of the video, if you remember, he said that he saw Christmas as just another hurdle, you know, early on, that it was just, for him early on, it was something that he said, you know, I wanted to just get on with getting the decorations out, and then we could just watch the videos. And he came to a point where he said, you know, that is not good enough. I want more from this season than that. I want more out of my expectation of God showing up in my life than that, than just going through the motions. Ever since the good gift of light that God gave on day one, our Heavenly Father has consistently, since then, given good gifts to his creation, always giving good gifts to his creation. And this act of giving a good gift, it's part of God's character. It's part of his nature. He is a good gift giver. That's part of who he is. And one of the most natural things, if you're a parent, you know, one of the most normal things to do is to give your kid a good gift. You care about somebody, and so you give them a gift to demonstrate that. You know, that's the picture that Jesus has given us in Scripture, that God is he's a good father who gives good and perfect gifts to his children. In Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Is there anyone among you who, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for fish, would give him a snake? If you then, although you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Jesus helps people see that our Father, our Heavenly Father, is the giver of good and gracious and perfect gifts. God is a great dad. He's a great father, and he loves to give good gifts to us. And one of the greatest and clearest demonstrations of that, of God's nature as a gift giver, is found in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. For this is the way God loved the world. A lot of us are familiar with this. This is the New English Translation. It's a little different, but for God so loved the world. For this is the way God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned. The one who does not believe has been condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Now this is the basis for judging, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil deeds hates the light and does not come into the light, so that their deeds will not be exposed. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, so that it may be plainly evident that his deeds have been done in God. The nature and character of God, the Father of lights, is to be a giver of good gifts. And we see in this passage that he loved the world, it says. He loves us. He loves you. He loves you, and he loves me. And he demonstrated how much he loves us by resorting to his nature. That's how he expressed his love. He went to his nature as a gift giver, and he gave the most amazing gift. He gave his one and only Son, Jesus, who was born of a virgin, found lying in a manger in Bethlehem. And that good news that, you know, we sang about a little while ago, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, that good news from God is that Jesus Christ has been born. But I think about that for myself, you know, personalizing it. What's that mean for me, that he's been born? I know about the cross, you know, and the burial and the resurrection and what that means, but what does it really mean? What's the significance that he's been born? And as I read that, I thought, you know what God wants for me this season, and I think what he wants for you this season as we seek him, is to not only be found by him, for us to experience him, but he wants to be born also in our hearts in a deeper and more profound way that changes us. He wants to be born into the lives of the people that he loves through his Holy Spirit. In Luke 10, it said, "For I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all people." And I think that's part of the great news of Jesus being born for us as Christians, that he wants to be born into the heart of every person here this evening in a greater way every year as we grow in Christ. This is a true story that I want to share with you that I read about. There was a lady named Charlotte, and she ran a daycare. It was a Christian preschool. And she bought this plush Jesus toy, and it was very huggable and smiley and something that little kids would really appreciate. And it was real squishy and cuddly, you know, that the kids would just gravitate to and want to grab a hold of. And some of the parents complained about it. Some of the parents said, "That's inappropriate. That's not an appropriate representation of Jesus." And Charlotte didn't hesitate. She knew the question that she needed to ask them. She said, "Well, which Jesus do you want your kids to know? I mean, do you want them to know the breakable Jesus that's fragile, that's up on a shelf somewhere distant from them and looking down on them, or do you want the Jesus that sits next to them on the couch, that they can know, the Jesus that they can tell their secrets to, the Jesus who does comfort them, who does do life with them, the Jesus that they can actually care about?" And as I read that story, I thought, you know, what Jesus am I expecting this year? What Jesus am I looking for? Am I expecting to find? You know, am I wanting to find the Jesus who is going to bring life and joy to my heart this season? Am I looking for the Jesus that wants me to spend time with him every day because it makes him happy when I do that? Or do I want the Jesus that I can just easily put back in a box and put on a shelf somewhere? The Savior of the world, Jesus, is also known as the light of the world. Jesus referred to himself in John 8:12 as that. Jesus, the light of the world, came into the world, it says, to drive out darkness. In a sense, I think on that first Christmas in Bethlehem, that's part of what God was doing. You know, in the beginning in Genesis, he said, let there be light to the world. But in a new way, with the birth of Jesus, he was saying, let there be the light of the world to come into mankind's darkness, to come into our darkness. And when he comes into that darkness, he not only brings truth and light, he brings hope, and he brings joy, and he brings love, all because of his arrival. And I think along with saying, let there be light, he's saying, let people have hope. You know, let them experience God's love in their life. I think God wants to shine this year in a way for each of us, especially in areas that we hide from him, you know, that we try to think, well, that part of my life is too broken. That's where he wants to shine the most. That part of my life is too dark. That's where he really is the brightest. And not only for us, but for those in our community who are living in great darkness, he wants his light to shine brightly in their lives. So how can a person come back home to God if they are distant? What if they're in darkness? What if they don't know Jesus? Or what if there's just been a prodigal season in their life where they just feel like they're distant from him and there's darkness, that his light isn't throughout their life? In the video that we watched, the man in that video, Eddie, he mentioned a verse in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29:13. And I want to share that with you. He said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Nearly 600 years before Jesus was born, the people of God, the Israelites, were in captivity. Their land had been taken from them. They were in slavery. They were in oppressive surroundings. They were in a place where, for them, was very spiritually dark. Their future didn't look hopeful at all, looked hopeless. And they were, I'm sure, very lonely and wondering, where is God? Where is his light in this season of my life? And they felt abandoned by God. And then they receive this messenger. Jeremiah comes along, and he's got this message from God. And God said, for I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. Filled with hope. When you call out to me and come to me in prayer, I will hear your prayers. When you seek me in prayer and worship, you will find me available to you if you seek me with all. If you seek me with all of your heart and soul. I think those words from Jeremiah were a gift from God to a people who were in darkness and oppression and loneliness and despair. And in the darkness of their day-to-day living, God gave them a gift of expectancy. God gave them a gift of expecting him to show up and make an impact, that things were going to change for the better as they sought him. And I think in the season of life that they were in, that's what they needed most, because they didn't feel like there was any light. They didn't feel like there was any hope for them. They didn't feel like things would ever get better. And that could be some of us this evening. I don't know all the details of your life. People that you care about, maybe, who are hurting, that are maybe in a lot of darkness this evening. And not only are they hurting, but you're hurting for them, and you're wondering what's going to happen with them. I mean, is good going to come into their life somehow? Is there going to be hope? Is there going to be light in the midst of their situation? But I believe that we have a promise from God and a hope in this gift of expectancy, where God has given us a promise. He says, if you will do this, if you will seek me with all of your heart and all of your soul, if you will do that, I'm going to show up. You're going to find me. And that's a hope not only for us, but for others. Jeremiah was not the only person in the Bible who talked about seeking God in this way. Jesus talks about seeking God in a passage in Matthew 7 that we referenced earlier. And just before Jesus talks about the nature of God here as a gift giver, being a father who gives good gifts, in verses 7 and 8, I'd like to share that with you. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. These are God's promises to us. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. And I think reading that, the gift of expectancy with hope is given to those who will seek God with all their heart. Those who ask and seek and knock will find not only an answer to whatever their question is or whatever their struggle is, they're going to find God himself in their situation. And that gift comes with expectancy, with knowing that no matter how things look in my life, no matter how things appear, no matter what the struggles are, no matter what the darkness is, it's expecting. I know God is going to show up. I know it. And that's a gift that he gives to those who will seek him. You know, this Christmas season, I'm inspired by the video we watched to try something really cool like that. Our kids at this point probably aren't going to run through the house screaming if they find the baby Jesus. Jesse, volunteer? I probably would, because actually sometimes I'm a kid. Ask my wife. But, you know, I think that's a neat idea to have things that are meaningful symbols in our life. Not symbols just for symbols' sake, but symbols with meaning, like what he did. And I think that's great. And I would invite you, I'm going to pray about it and hope the Lord helps me to remember to follow through. I think that we need to really be deliberate during this season to see things differently, to not just go through the motions this year because we do this every year, to not just decorate because we always decorate, not just sing songs because we always sing songs, but to do everything we're doing because we're seeking God and we're expecting to find him in what we're doing. You know, God is really, more than all the external trappings of this time of year, he's really interested in our hearts. And that's really what we're talking about, seeking him with all of our hearts and then believing that we're going to find him, that he's going to show up. So will you seek him this season, during Christmas season? You know, I think it's important to have some kind of symbols in the season that Jesus is the center of everything. You know, it's not about the gifts. It's not about even just the family time. It's not about all the wonderful decorations, and I love it. But it's about Jesus. You know, how can I remind myself throughout the upcoming month, and how can I demonstrate to others that it's really about Jesus? Another question that I thought about as I prepared for this message, what does God want for Christmas? I think that's a really good million-dollar question, you know, because he's got everything. You know, what does he want? What would he like? Mike, I heard a great answer there. Us. And we call this time of year Advent, we said, and it means arrival. And so we're looking forward to the arrival of Jesus. And that arrival is a gift. We're looking forward to the giving of a gift. We know from Scripture this is a gift from God the Father. And for there to be a gift, there's got to be a gift giver, and there's got to be gift receivers, those who receive that gift from him. And God wants us to seek him in this season in such a way that we're able to receive that gift, not just go through the motions, that we can really receive in fullness the joy of finding Christ in a new way this Christmas. You know, along with the Lord having all of our hearts, I think the other thing he wants during this Christmas season is for us to recognize that there are a lot of people who just have a lot of emptiness in their lives, that don't know Christ, that don't have much hope, that don't know about his love, that don't know about his son. And I think part of what God wants for us is for us to bring Jesus into the life of other people, for us to take the light that we find in this Christmas season and to be intentional to take that light to others during this time and maybe help them find the light of the world in a new way. That could be making some cookies and taking them to a neighbor who's lost somebody. That could be making a nice Christmas card for somebody and sending it to them. Just let them know you care and that God cares about them. It could be inviting somebody to a church service who normally doesn't come and say, hey, you know, there's hope out there. Why don't you come to a church service? I know you don't usually go, but we're having some Christmas services. Maybe you would experience some hope there in a new way. Why don't you come? Be my guest. I'll pick you up. You know, that's a way we can share the light of Christ, or even like Go For Sundays tomorrow. We're going to do that collectively and go to a retirement home and share Jesus Christ. It's not about us playing music or us sharing a message, or it's not about any of that. It's about Jesus coming into our lives and us taking it to somebody else. I think that when we do that, I think that makes God smile. I think that's a good use of the gift that we've received from him. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word, Lord, and talk about the expectancy of those shepherds, Lord, who received good news as they were out with the flocks at night, God, that just reminds me so much of us. God, I just pray that we would receive your word in a new way, even though that we've heard it before, Lord. We know it is living and active, and the thing that needs to be different is our response. That we need to see that it is a good thing for us to expect to find you, Lord, during this season. That it's a good thing, Lord, for us to just stop going through the motions of everyday life, Lord, and really expect to experience your great light in our darkness, Lord, that you want us to find more of you. You want us to experience more of you in our life, Lord, if we will trust you and if we'll seek you with all of our hearts, Lord, if we'll believe you for that, if we'll stop being religious and just going through the motions, God, that we can find hope greater than anything we've ever experienced, that we can have joy that overcomes our situations, we can have joy that overcomes our emotions, Lord, our circumstances, we can experience your peace. And God, I just pray, even as I'm beginning to receive myself, Lord, I pray for all of us, everybody here tonight, Lord, that we would experience this gift of expectancy, God. This gift that is for every person, Lord, for everyone who will seek you with all of their heart and with all of their soul, Lord, that we have a promise from you. That if we do that, we're going to receive you. And we're going to find you, and we're going to know in a greater way what an amazing and awesome God you are. We're going to experience your presence in our life, Lord, in a way that changes who we are and makes us more like Jesus, and that's what we want, Lord. Father God, I just pray that through this Christmas season, Lord, that it would be pleasing to you, that however we keep Jesus at the center of it all and invite you in a greater way than ever before, Lord, that you would help us to do that in a way, Lord, that just puts a smile on your face and makes it a great Christmas for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.